Run for your lives! A new Voltron project? The epic return of the PlayStation Simple series? A Japanese boy band, dance unit that's actually worth checking out? That and how rock band Fire Bomber needs to happen on this week's Friday Ace. Welcome to this week's Friday Ace, and as usual, I'm your navigator, Mike Dent. And this has been a week filled with visual crack. Seriously, my valiant listeners, we've been bombarded by the rather slick-looking trailers for Iron Man 2 and Tron Legacy, the Oscar nominees for Best Animated Short are slowly making their way online, and a bunch of wine-heavy vlog entries about how Avatar was robbed at the Oscars. Still, amidst the visions of a brighter tomorrow, lots of other slick things happened this week in the world of Japanese pop culture that deserve your attention. And rest assured, I've got you covered. This week it's back to basics with the return of the highlight reel, with a bit of a rant. Don't worry, it doesn't involve spandex. Followed by an earth-shattering installment of Five in Tune, and all wrapped up with this week's watch list. And true to my word, here comes this week's highlight reel. Okay, stop me if you've heard this one before. A guy tries to sue a well-known film director for damages caused by plagiarism. I don't need to go any further, do I? However, in this case, trust me, you might want to hear this one, because this is kind of messed up. According to Entertainment Weekly, and brought to our attention by Anime News Network, some guy is trying to sue Quentin Tarantino, among other people, for the anime sequence in Kill Bill Volume 1. 7 years after this film has come out, the suddenly comes to light, regarding how this person had apparently given a treatment to Miramax Studios involving a character named Ren, who, according to this claim, is apparently based off of the lineage of the slightly argument-generating samurai Sakano Yoe no Tamuramaro. Argument-generating in the sense that for years people tried to say that this particular samurai is of mixed African-Japanese heritage, with no real evidence to the contrary. And no, that does not make him the first true Afro-samurai. Now, I'm going to read the highlights of this guy's claim that appears in the suit, now available for viewing on the Entertainment Weekly website. If you're playing at home, I want you to take a drink for every cliche that has been in every possible anime or movie that you can think of you hear in this paragraph. Here goes. Tarantino copied verbatim the concept character Ren without changing anything and pilfered every element of the treatment, including Ren witnessing her mother's sadistic murder, burning the house down while standing next to a small shrine, Ren becoming the head of the Yakuza, the collection of katana swords, death touch, and her being taken by her father to be trained by her grandfather to become an assassin, giant flaming banana rocket punch. That last part wasn't in the real claim, mind you. That was just me making sure you guys were still sober. You know what? I can't take it anymore. Soapbox. You're expecting to win this suit 7 years after the film has come out? Really? I mean, for crying out loud, the woman who tried to sue the Wachowski brothers for plagiarizing The Matrix, at least she was punctual about it. And, yes, you have an excuse for not doing this whole thing right away, considering you were in prison from 2001 to 2006, but that really doesn't help your credibility here. And strikes 2 and 3 against you in my book. The fact that, I'm sorry, sir, but you play the frigging race card. An act that always personally infuriates me, being of mixed race. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist in Hollywood. For crying out loud, we still have studios who believe that nobody will go see a movie with an Asian lead after all these years. But when you go so far as to describe yourself in this entire thing as a quote-unquote poor inner-city African-American youth, such as my favorite quote, the plaintiff being an inner-city youth, took a bus to Miramax, and the rampant accusations of whites and Jews being part of this whole conspiracy against you, and how the bride representing the Jewish superhero killing Orenishi is in fact a stab at you, the quote-unquote black author, that also reeks of BS. Because, well, see, here's the thing. You refer to Orenishi having her arms chopped off, being thrown in the back of a car, and then thrown into a ditch. I'm sorry, sir, but you're describing the fate of one Sophie Fatale, a completely different character entirely. If you're going to sue one of the biggest names in Hollywood for plagiarism, at least frigging know the movie you're basing your claims off of. Common sense here. And look, I can tell you already how this is going to end. You will end up with nothing, you will be laughed at for weeks, you will end up nothing more than a footnote on Wikipedia about how you tried to get some money out of somebody who can arguably craft a better story than you ever will. And before all you guys come after me, no, I'm not a Tarantino worshipper. I still can't forgive him for the complete cut of Death Proof. Okay, I feel better after that. Sorry that took so long, but God, I had to say something. Let me make up that whole rant with some good news. Grant's making new Gurren Lagann parallel works! A while back, Gainax had promised an encore to the first parallel works, a series of animated shorts by various directors that told new stories featuring the cast of Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann. And one of these got so popular that it ended up becoming canon, assuming the role of the prologue to the first Gurren Lagann compilation movie. Now, Gainax had finally proven themselves to be manly men and women of their word, with the announcement of Gurren Lagann Parallel Works 2. New shorts, new directors, and even brand new music that'll be showing up throughout. No idea if Bandai's gonna finally release these stateside, and let alone the first one, but damn if this doesn't look promising. As long as we don't get another still image time-lapse extravaganza. Liber me from hell indeed. If you guys remember last week, I did all those phony headlines, and I mentioned Legend of the Galactic Heroes being released in the States. For that, I'm sorry. However, irony must be in the air, because I actually have a Legend of the Galactic Heroes headline that's worth the trouble. Get this. It came out recently that said Japanese science fiction epic is being adapted into a stage play, which is poised to come out in Tokyo's Aoyama Theater early next year. A teaser site is up, but nothing is really available, aside from basic information and a countdown clock, which I'm sure if I give you the link right now, you'll be too lazy to remember, so just scroll down to the show notes and click the link. Lampresta recently became part of the growing list of companies whose big announcements were ruined by a massive leak, thanks to the early unveiling of the next game for the original generation Saga franchise. Super Robot Tyson OG Saga, Maso Kishin, the Lord of Elemental. Thanks to the blundering of somebody over at Rakuten, the Japanese equivalent of Amazon, even though there is an Amazon.jp, information came out regarding a Nintendo DS port of the titular side story game. Known for being one of the first games in the Super Robot Tyson series to focus solely on original characters, its angled maps, which have since become a series staple, and one of the few times in which the mechs were rendered in full scale as opposed to the usual SD. It wasn't long before Bonpresto finally just gave in and unleashed a teaser site with an official announcement citing the game's release for May 27th and promising a bigger announcement on March 15th. Based on the information that was on Rakuten in recent magazine scans, the DS port of Lord of Elemental will boast improved graphics, a new interface, brand new cut-ins for fights, and a new exclusive mech for the game's main character, Masaki Ando, better known as the pilot for Cybuster, the proper one, not the anime version that we dare not mention. Now, considering that this is also part of the OG saga, that started with Endless Frontier and is currently continuing in Endless Frontier Exceed, this could have a better chance of a stateside release from the good people over at Atlas. Here's hoping they'll follow suit with this one, but until then, stand by for Akashic Buster! And speaking of super robots, a recent Nicktoons press event revealed World Event Productions' plans for a new Voltron series, entitled Voltron Panthera Force. The series is set to premiere this fall alongside Dragon Ball Kai, now known in the States as Dragon Ball Z Kai for some unknown reason. But as long as it makes up for the train wreck that was Voltron the Third Dimension, I'm all for it. Lastly, Danny Chu has an anime studio now. No, seriously, this isn't a joke or me making stuff up. He really has one now. Announced in a blurb during one of his desk diary entries, the man himself spoke of the birth of Mirai Fusion, a new anime production studio that is currently working on two titles that are still unknown, with a promotional video on the way. Forget Project Natal, I'm more worried about him taking over the world at this rate. Now for the tangent of the week. D3 Publisher announced this week the coming of the one and only Simple 1500 series to the PlayStation Store in Japan. Hello. Hopefully unaware, the Simple 1500 games were, well, simple, but rather original games for the PS1 back in the day. And it's where titles like One Eight Chambara and Earth Defense Force got their start. Starting March 10th, the games will be available for $3 a pop and can be played on both the PS3 and PSP in Japan. To start out, they'll be releasing 4 games from the series: Volume 14, The Block Breaker; Volume 15, The Pachinko; Volume 18, The Bowling; and Volume 31, The Sound Novel. Whether or not this spells the beginning of a full series release is unknown at the time, but considering the popularity of the Simple series, it's probably only a matter of time. In Japan. If music be the food of awesomeness, let's make it the second course. Here comes this week's 5 in Tune. And we're back to normality. Here's how this is gonna go down. I'm gonna give you the top 3 Japanese music singles from this past week's Oricon ranking, one single that deserves your attention, and the one release, whether it be a single or an album, that you probably should have gotten this week. Also, if you like what you hear, please, for the love of God, don't download it and just buy it. Otherwise, Golgo 13 will probably be paying me a visit in the near future. So let's start things off with this week's top 3 singles, starting with The Magic Number. That's 3 in case you never saw Schoolhouse Rock. Best Friend by Kana Nishino. Number 2. Backborn by Imai Tsubasai. And the number one single in Japan right now, Hitomi no Screen by Heisei Jump. Hitomi no naka, utsuru sekai, abure sou na kanashimi demo. Boku tachi wa mou nige dasanai sa, seishun story. Me o korashite, mitsume nagara, hikari kito, sagashi dasu sa. Namida no saki wo. And wow, a top 3 that I actually care about after 2 weeks of dismal ranking entries. Even though these make later into the night, there is one diamond in the rough that outshines them all, and that's... Sayonara no Sora by Kwai. At least I think that's how you pronounce it. Watch, it'll end up being 5 syllables more or something. Now, for the one you should have bought this week, I want you to pay special attention. This is from the band Winds, their new album, Another World. I've been following these guys for years, and they've mostly been bubblegum pop. In fact, they've even done a track that sounds remarkably like a Backstreet Boys track. I'd like to say- recent years, they've suddenly gone from this to this. From this to this. pop. Nightclub techno. Of physics in my world just twisted in on themselves and caused a quantum singularity. I'm thinking this album's definitely gonna be worth the purchase, if only for this turnaround. And now we've entered the home stretch. Here comes the watch list. Here's some things from this week that you might want to look into. The countdown to Zebra Time continues with the first full trailer for Takashi Miike's Zebraman 2, Zebra City's Counterattack. Prepare to get that new theme song stuck in your head for days. First teaser trailer for Mutant Girls Squad, the anthology film I mentioned a while back involving Tak Sakaguchi, Nobu Iguchi, and Yoshihiro Nishimura. Though there's not much gore in it, you might want to save this one for later just to be sure. Chiaki Kuriyama interviewed by MTV Iggy regarding her debut single and ending theme for Gundam Unicorn. Wait, there's an MTV subsidiary that still covers music? Huh. Mega 64 and IGN show the full extent of the cuts made to the US and UK release of Yakuza 3. A mountain of new material from Super Street Fighter 4 that came out this week, including the revelation of the final character, an in-depth look at the changes in the final build via the Wake Up Shoryuken podcast, an interactive combo exhibition, and a sneak preview of the new Xbox Premium theme that shows off all the new alternate costumes. And all the while, the fans are still bitching. And lastly, watch this while you can, mind-blowing footage from the recent live Vocaloid concert event, Hatsune Miku's Thanksgiving Day. Since this spells the beginning of the day of the virtual idol, I'm counting down the minutes until we have a Love Plus Idol concert in the same vein. That or the creation of Sharon Apple. All the more reason for the release of Rock Band Firebomber. I mean, that's it for this week's Friday Ace. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. As always, if you want to send comments, questions, or tips on stories during the week, email me over fridayace.ousa@gmail.com. Seriously, guys, take advantage of it. There's like tumbleweeds making out in there, and it's not pretty. But until the next, I'm Mike Dent. And this is the greatest massacre of a Yoko Kanno track to ever grace the internet. Aside from any MP3 rip of the Cowboy Bebop remix album, of course. What? Bullets hit your body fast. You beat the murders with the same lawyer God he had. Time to a pickup truck and watch his body crash. Hit him up, shoddy, yeah. Blast. Zipped up the body bag. Fist up, then what? Yeah. Bullets hit your body fast. You beat the murders with the same lawyer God he had. And people wonder why my love for hip-hop is minimal at best. See you next day. Yeah. Friday Ace is published under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.